This morning, take your Bible and turn to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 15 is where we'll be. We've been going through some stories in the book of Genesis, and we'll get back there, Lord willing, in a week or two. But this morning is Mother's Day. Of course, today is Mother's Day, and many Bible mothers we could look at. And, you know, as a pastor, it's a prayerful consideration. Do we just carry on with the series? Do we have a special Mother's Day message? Do we try and find a mother in the close to where we're preaching through? You know, it's just an individual thing before the Lord, and I believe the Lord led me to this portion of Scripture this morning in Matthew chapter 15. And we see at the beginning of the chapter that Jesus actually is having a conversation about honoring mothers and fathers and the way that the Jews had changed the law to fit their own convenience. But that's not where we're at in the message this morning. We're going to look at a Bible mother, and the text of the message is in verses 21 to 28. You know, God honors motherhood. Of course, God made mothers, and He made mothers and fathers. And the Bible tells us that the first woman was named Eve, and the reason she was named Eve is because she was the mother of all living. And so Adam named her knowing that she would be the mother, the one who would bring forth children into their marriage and so on. And so God honors motherhood. God created motherhood. To the Jews in particular, motherhood indicated the blessing of God. To be childless was something that was a very difficult situation for Jewish ladies. And so God, they believe that God favored motherhood. We see often in the Bible where the people prayed very definitely that God would grant them children because the wife was barren and so on. And so we realize that there's something special about a mother and her love. God compares His concern and His compassion to that of a mother. And of course, He says that His love is greater than that of a mother. But still, He compares it to that great love of a mother. There's perhaps no greater test of a mother's love, though, than a problem with her child or one of her children. And that's what the Bible is talking about in what we're reading about this morning in Matthew chapter 15. You know, a mother will go to great lengths doing whatever is necessary to help her child or her children. In our text this morning, there's a mother who has a problem, and she goes to Jesus to get that problem solved and looked after. That problem was with one of her children, her daughter. She deals with the problems. She is persistent and sees the prize because of a mother's love. That's what the message is entitled this morning. Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. The Bible says, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Let's pray together. This morning, Lord, we come to you and we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity we have to honor mothers today. Lord, it's a very simple statement, very true. If it were not for a mother, we wouldn't be here today. And so we thank you for our mothers. We realize that our mothers were not perfect, but neither did they bear perfect children. We're not perfect either. So, Lord, this morning we come to honor our mothers, and perhaps honor the memory of our mothers. But Lord, we also come to hear from you, especially today, and in this story about a mother who had a problem with her child, and she came to you with that problem. Lord, I pray that we would learn from it. I pray that the ladies here would be encouraged today to pray for their children, and Lord, that we as children would be encouraged also to honor our mothers. And Lord, as Christians in general, I ask that we would draw closer to you and realize that you are the one that, regardless of our stage in life and state in life, you're the one that we can come to with the problems and difficulties. and see you answer and do great things. Lord, if it be that there's someone here this morning who's never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior today, I pray that this day would be a day that they would realize that your love even surpasses that of a mother. Now, Lord, you love with an everlasting love, and you have come and you sent your Son to save us from our sins. And Lord, that was because you loved us so much. And so may it be that this morning, if there's anyone who is not a believer in Jesus Christ, that today that they would be saved and their life would be changed. For Lord, we know that if their mother is a believer, that would be the greatest answer to their mother's prayer. And so speak to us each one. Draw us closer to yourself. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Think this morning about this mother's problem. A mother's problem. If there's anything that breaks a parent's heart, it's a problem with their child. And that problem can be a spiritual problem, it can be a physical problem, it can be an emotional problem, but it's a heartbreaking thing to have a problem and to see your child dealing with something in their life. And so this woman that we've read about this morning and that we'll look at, she had a problem. Her daughter was vexed with a devil. It was a great problem. Demon possession was a big problem at the time of Christ and manifested itself in many different ways, from physical actions to many different things. And by the way, I don't think that demon possession is a thing of the past. I think that it is still in our society today. It's just that we try to name it all kinds of different things. The Bible spells it out for what it is. And so there was a situation here. This woman had a very definite problem. Her daughter was vexed with a devil. We don't know what the symptoms were in this case. The Bible doesn't tell us. In some of the Bible stories where people were vexed with the devil, we find that they were unable to speak or unable to hear, or that they acted out very unusually or did terrible things. But this situation, it doesn't tell us. It just says that she was grievously vexed, though. To be vexed, of course, means trouble. There was something going on here. Grievously would indicate that it was a very serious problem, that it was something that was very impactful in her life. We don't know how old this girl was. You know, we can fill in, we could try and guess, but we really have no concept of how old this girl was, but she was in a bad way, and her mother was concerned about the situation. You know, a good mother cares for and loves her children regardless of how old they are, and her heart hurts when they hurt. It doesn't matter how old they are, it doesn't matter how old their children are, it would still be the same situation. I remember hearing somebody on the radio say that he asked his mother when she stopped caring for her children or stopped worrying about her children. She says, I'll let you know. In other words, it hadn't come to that place yet and probably never would, because a mother's heart is for her children. Isaiah 49:15 says, can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? That's a rhetorical question. No, a mother can't forget her children. And it says, yea, she may forget, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Again, reminding us of God's great love that's even greater than the love of a mother. But God puts that love of a mother, concern of a mother, at a very high threshold and says that a mother's love is a great love, is a concerning love, and the problems of the child are burdens to their mother. When I was just a young fellow, my brother, who was 3 years older than me, he had all kinds of problems with tonsillitis, and then his ears, he had tubes in his ears, and he went from being a chunky, chubby little fellow to being a very skinny young man, and part of it may have been age, but I think it was the things he was going through, and actually ended up being nicknamed the Bean, because he was a bean turned into a bean pole because he was so thin, and he still is today, so I don't know what you count that to. I remember my mom being very concerned. And she would often, they would have doctor's appointments, she would take him, and she didn't drive, and they would take the bus from our little town in England to go to the big city to take him to the hospital, because she was concerned that he would get well. I myself have very poor eyesight. I got my contacts in this morning, so you wouldn't know that. But I remember every time I go to have my eyes tested and my eyes would be worse, my mom, I could see it on her face, and she would say, oh dear, Christopher, I'm concerned that your eyesight is getting worse. See, my mother's heart was broken, and maybe she was more concerned about it in some ways than I was. Yeah, I didn't like wearing glasses. Matter of fact, I refused for many years, much to the chagrin of my mom and my dad. But she was concerned that her children were not well. And that was a great concern to her heart. And just last year, as I had my lung collapse, and I ended up having surgery, I remember my mom came up and she was like, "Are you okay? You know, it doesn't matter. I'm 48 years old. I guess it was 47 then, but it didn't matter how old I was. My mom was concerned because my mom, as a typical mother, loves her children. And she wants what is best for them. And so whether it be a physical problem or a spiritual problem or a relationship problem or anything else, if a mother knows about it, it will be a burden and a concern on her heart. You know, I had to think as I thought about that aspect of the message, I wonder how many times we perhaps sometimes knowingly but sometimes unknowingly brought heaviness and burden to our moms. You know, as children, we don't even realize that so many times. We think it's my life, I'll do what I want, and it doesn't matter. Why do you care? And we bring a burden and concern to the heart of our mother. The Bible says in Proverbs 10, verse 1, a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. I'm sure that some of my mom's gray hairs were probably caused by me. Most of them by my oldest brother, my next brother, but I'm sure that some of them were caused by me. And the things I did in my life and struggles and so on. I was a very picky eater and she tried to cater to everything. My dad said, just give him food and if he doesn't eat it, he'll eat it sooner or later. But my mom, she would make sure that I ate. She wanted to make sure that I was okay and I would eat. You know, show me a home where things aren't right and I'll show you the home of a burdened mom. Mothers, may you learn from this story today that in your burdens and your concerns for your family, there's one who knows, there's one who cares, there's one who you can take it to, and his name is Jesus. And children, may I say to you, regardless of your age this morning, and let's face it, we are all children, may you recognize the heart your mother has for you today and seek to lighten her load by walking with God. So this mother had a situation. There was a problem with her daughter. Her daughter was sick, but she had another problem, and she was of the wrong nationality. You say, what do you mean? That doesn't even, how does that doesn't sound like a very politically correct statement. No, it's not. But as we read the story this morning, you'd have to agree that's one of the best ways to describe the issue that she was dealing with here. She is said to be a woman of Canaan, and according to the corresponding scripture in Mark chapter 7, verse 26 tells us she was a Greek and she was a Syrophoenician. They say Greek, Canaanite, Syrophoenician. What was this lady? Well, she was Syrian, living in Phoenicia, which is a very narrow strip of land on the coast, the northeast corner of the Mediterranean Sea. Jesus was in the coast of Tyre and Sidon, we read in the beginning of our text this morning in verse 21. So she was from a little bit north of where Jesus was ministering. And she was in need of help. And she came perhaps because she heard that Jesus isn't too far away. I'm going to go and find him and I'm going to get help for my daughter. She went to the one she believed could help. But what happened when she got there? Well, it says that she cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. Verse 22, verse 23 says, but he answered her not a word. Didn't answer. There was a problem. She came to Jesus with the problem, but she was ignored by the one she felt would be able to help with the problem. Why? Because she was told that she wasn't from the right place, ultimately. He said, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and you are not one of them. She may have traveled far, but Jesus said, my ministry initially was to the Jews. And John 1, chapter 1, verse 11 says, he came unto his own, but his own received him not. But he came unto his own. In John 4, 22, Jesus told the woman at the well, salvation is of the Jews. And when Jesus sent out the 12 and the 70, at times he said, go not unto any but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And this woman didn't fit in that situation. She was from the wrong place. Though later the gospel was preached to all, at this point Jesus, as the Messiah to the Jews, was coming in fulfillment of the prophecy to the Jews, came to minister to the Jews first. Jesus loves the world. We know the Bible tells us, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And Jesus would say in John chapter 10, verse 16, "Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." But this woman, not being a Jew by birth nor a convert to Judaism, was not in a position, it seemed, to be helped. That was a problem. And she felt the only one that could help was one who didn't seem to be concerned about her need. The woman's problems were compounded by the fact that she was a Canaanite. Her problem was big enough, isn't it? Her daughter was grievously vexed, but here another problem is the one who can help doesn't seem to want to help her in her need. You know, the Bible tells us that God only obliges Himself to hear the prayer of His children. In 1 Peter 3:12 it says, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." I wonder how many people think little of God or nothing of God at all until there's a problem. And then they pray and they say, "Why isn't God doing something?" Well, God says, "I hear the prayers of My people." So many people wait until there's a problem in their life and they expect God to hear their prayer and fix their problem. "God, I haven't cared about You all my life, but now I need You because nobody else can do anything, so do something." And they expect God to do something to help them. God doesn't oblige Himself to do such, does He? Now, thankfully, in His mercy, He often does anyway. Thankfully, in His mercy, He often uses those situations in life to help people realize they need Him, not just in that situation, but they need Him for everything and they need Him for eternity. But at first situation, they're perhaps a little bit like this woman, crying out to God to deal with their problem, and yet they are not one of His children. And yet they all of a sudden expect Him to fix what is wrong. God is under no obligation to do so. And so my recommendation to you this morning, if you do not know the Lord and do not walk with the Lord, is to start that relationship. Believe in Jesus Christ. Live for the Lord. Get that relationship right so when those problems come, and they will, you know you have His ear. Because He says He will hear the prayer of the righteous. You'll have an advocate then in Jesus Christ. Christian, walk with God so that you too are in a right relationship with Him, right fellowship with Him. So when those trials come your way, He is there. So this woman had a problem. Her daughter was vexed with the devil. Her daughter was sick, we might say. Her daughter had a problem. She had a problem in that Jesus didn't seem to hear, but she also had a problem in that Jesus' disciples did not go to bat for her. Matter of fact, they said, "Jesus, get rid of her. Send her away. She's a bother to us." Mark 7:24 tells us that Jesus had entered into a home that day. Matthew doesn't give us the full detail of the story, but Jesus had entered into a home that day and He would have no man know it. See, if you read about Jesus' ministry around that time, we would find that He had been no rest for Jesus and disciples. They hadn't had so much time, so much as to eat. Constantly, people were coming with their problems, with their issues. They got on their ship and they sailed to the other side, hoping to find a quiet place. What happened? The people saw where they were going, went around the lake, met them there. You remember the story? Jesus ended up feeding the 5,000 and He ministered to them until evening, and then He sent the disciples away. They got caught up in a storm. That when they went to where they went to, people heard that Jesus was there and they followed Him. So here Jesus and His disciples are trying to catch a break. "Give us a rest. We need some quiet time." When they went into the house and would have no man to know it, but this woman hears that He's there and she makes a big to-do and she cried out, "Jesus is here. I need His help." And so the disciples said, look, we have not had rest. We have been so busy. We've been through a storm. We've been ministering to people. Life has been crazy. Now this woman will not leave us alone. She's bothering us. Jesus, send her away. The woman's problem and her seeking Jesus to resolve it caused her to be an annoyance to Jesus' disciples. Now think about Jesus' disciples, and they'd seen what Jesus could do. They'd seen what Jesus did. Maybe it would have been better to say, Jesus, can you just heal this lady's daughter so she'll quieten down? Instead of, Jesus, send her away. But there was a lack of understanding by those who ought to have known better. You know, I wonder how many times as Christians we are, instead of being a help, maybe a bridge, we might say, to lead people to the Lord, we're like a roadblock that tries to keep them away from the Lord. We can and should be empathetic to the plight of those with problems. Not, oh wow, glad I'm not dealing with your problem. Because that's a little bit like these disciples were, isn't it? Send her away. We don't want her bothering us. Well, the Bible says in 3 John verse 8 that we should be fellow helpers to the truth. What does that mean? That means helpers to getting the truth out. Helpers to helping those who teach the truth. Bringing people to the truth. Well, we're like the disciples, and often our lives are busy and we say, I just want some downtime. You know, put up the do not disturb. I'm not on call today. In reality, what we should be doing is pleading for people to the Lord. We who have the Lord's ear have the opportunity to pray for those who don't. The disciples had the Lord's attention. They had the Lord's ear. He answered them. He talked to them. Why would they not say, Lord, this lady's in distress. It's obvious that she needs something. Will you please help her? Instead of, Lord, send her away. Oh, what great problems this woman had. But we see that she didn't just have problems, she had persistence. Her problems were clear, but her persistence was that nothing could deter her. A mother's love is such that it will cause her to go to bat for her children until she has no strength to hold the bat, and still she will fight for her children. This woman said, I will not give up. I will not let anything stop me from getting the help that my daughter needs. And she was convinced that Jesus could provide that help. She fell at his feet. She called, she said, oh, Lord, thou son of David, have mercy on me. She got past the disciples somehow. Jesus in that house. He doesn't want anyone to know it. The disciples are there. And somehow she got past them and fell at Jesus' feet and worshiped him. That took some persistence in that alone, didn't it? 12 bodyguards, shall we say, of Jesus, and yet somehow she got past them. She was persistent to get to Jesus. She didn't have the answer yet, but she recognized him as the one who could help. She worshiped him. When we think of usually worship as being a response for what God has already done, this woman hadn't seen the answer yet, but she said, I need to see the answer. I know he can provide the answer. I believe in him. I'm going to worship him now. She'd probably heard of the sick that he had healed as he went, traveled about healing the sick and all over. I'm sure that word spread all around that region, not only in Galilee and Judea, but throughout Tyre and Sidon and the coasts of Phoenicia. I'm sure that the word spread afar about this one that would come to Israel who seemed to be the Messiah that the Jews believed in. And he could do anything, and he could heal the sick, and he could cast out demons, and he could do all kinds of things. And she had heard that what he'd done, and she said, I've got to get to him because my daughter has this problem, and I know that he can do what needs to be done. She must have heard of his kindness and generosity to feed the hungry in the desert. and never to turn anyone away, because the Bible tells us that He healed all their sick. He went into towns and villages and healed all their sick. She said, I've got to get to Jesus. She had faith that He could do something, faith that He would do something. Remember those, I believe it was the lepers who came to Jesus and they said, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Jesus, if you're willing, I know you can. Imagine to this point she'd been ignored by Jesus and rejected by His disciple, but she would not give up. In faith, she persistently sought Him and begged Him to do something. Her mother's love wouldn't let her give it up on the one who could help her daughter. Mothers today, fathers today, do you have a wayward or troubled child? Do you have one who you're concerned about, something in their life that's going on? Perhaps they're not walking with God. Perhaps they have something that they're dealing with in their life. Are you persistent to pray for them? You say, but I've tried that and it didn't work. Well, this woman tried, but she didn't give up. She cried out, Lord, have mercy on me, thou son of David. But He answered her not a word. And she said, okay, I'm going to fall down His feet and I'm going to worship Him anyway, because I know that He can do something. The saying is, where there's life, there is hope. Are you praying for your children? You know, we've talked a lot about waiting on God over this last while, and waiting on God by faith. Here's another opportunity to wait on God by faith. You know, your persistence will be based on two things, really, won't it? Your love for that one and your faith in what God can do. Absolute faith that God can, and absolute concern for the one in need. He is able, but are you willing to wait at Jesus' feet until He intervenes? This woman wasn't done with the obstacles. She was persistent. Oh, she was so persistent. But how humble. How humble this woman was. She knew He could help, but she didn't get offended by the response that she got. One of the most amazing things in this story is her persistence in spite of what we would look at and say, that's an insult. How could anybody stand that? Jesus said, you're not a sheep of Israel. You're a dog of the Gentiles. He said, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. She worshipped Him and He said, it's not meet to take the children's bread, the children being Israel again, the bread that which belongs to them, and cast it to the dogs. But she didn't give up. She persistently continued despite that. Now the dog was not the domesticated pet that we have today. I mean, some people, you know, we talk today, we say it's a dog's life. You know, today dogs have a pretty easy life most of the time, don't they? They get fed when they want fed. They get water when they want water. They get to go for walks. Sometimes they get played with. They don't have to do anything. They don't have to work. Most of them, the pets. This wasn't the way dogs were in Bible times, nor in the East in some places still today. Dogs were really a nuisance of the streets, like they are in many places of the world. Not domesticated pets, but just nuisance scroungers that come around and bother people. They do whatever they can to get whatever they can get. And the Jews called the Gentiles dogs. And by the way, it worked the other way around too. You remember what Goliath said to David? Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? Staves? So these were terms that were used in the day. I don't say whether they were right or wrong. I'm just saying what they did. In many ways, Jesus was testing her faith, which He would later call great faith. Can you imagine what would happen if this took place today? You calling me a dog? Oh, I'll tell you something. I can get my lawyer and then we'll see. Right? That's what would probably take place today. by some. But rather than be offended, this woman humbly agreed that she didn't deserve the food that belonged to the children. Can you imagine? She said, "Truth, Lord, you're right. You're right. I'm a dog and I don't deserve the children's food. But, you know, those children, they drop crumbs on the floor and the dogs get to eat those crumbs." You know what she said? She said, "Jesus, you're so powerful that just the leftovers that the Israelites drop on the ground, that's enough for me. That's enough for me. I can have a good meal based on what's left over because, God, you're so gracious, you're so powerful, you have so much might." See how she turned around what seemed to be such an obstacle and took it as a step of faith and said, "Jesus, yes, you're so powerful that I'll take the leftovers. I'll take the crumbs. Let them fall where they may, but the crumbs from you are enough to heal my daughter of the problem that she has." I wonder how often we fail to persist in prayer because we're proud. Well, God just doesn't seem to care. So fine then. Oh, we wouldn't say those words, but in our hearts we may think, "Well, I guess that's it then. God just doesn't seem to care." And we let it seem to be an obstacle in our relationship with God. But the Bible says, "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." You know, humility in prayer is dependence upon God in his timing, and dependence on God in his power and ability. "God, you've got it. I know. I don't care what it seems like is happening. I trust you." Are we humble enough to persist in prayer before God? This woman, she had a great problem. It was compounded by issues dealing with getting to Jesus and getting an answer, but she was persistent. Oh, but she got a great prize at the end of this story, didn't she? The old saying is that persistence pays. Persistence in prayer pays. And this woman, when she did not give up, had her faith recognized. What seemed to be a roadblock was turned into a blank check of whatever she needed. "I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It's not meet to take the children's food and give it to the dogs. Yes, Lord, I know, but I just need some crumbs." Oh, woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee according to thy will. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. It went from, "No, there's nothing coming your way," to, "Whatever you need, whatever you desire, whatever it is that you want, you have the answer because your faith is great." It's like a blank check written on a bank account that you know can handle whatever amount you put in. See, I could give you a blank check, but it wouldn't matter what amount you filled in. It wouldn't be able to be cashed for very much. Went yesterday, I had a prepaid Visa card. I got a refund from, you know, contacts, rebate, whatever. They sent a prepaid Visa card. And went and did some shopping last night and tried to use it. And I'd used it a couple times before. I didn't realize that they can't just swipe it and it automatically tells them how much is left and then you pay the rest. So, you know, "Well, you know, I think there's $30 on there. Just try it." No, it didn't work. "Well, I think it's $20. Try it." No, it didn't work. "Okay, give up. We'll go to the next store and see." So I'm not so embarrassed to try a lower amount next time. But it wasn't worth what I hoped it was worth. But this woman, she said to Jesus, "I just need the crumbs." And Jesus said, "You can have more than the crumbs. You can have whatever you want. Whatever you need, I will provide it for you." You know, it's an interesting thing that Jesus comments on people's faith throughout his ministry. In Matthew chapter 8, Jesus commended the centurion who said, "Jesus, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant will be healed." He was in the next town. You know what Jesus said? "I've not seen so great faith. No, not in all Israel." You know what Jesus said to Peter, though, when Peter stepped out of the boat to walk on the water to Jesus and he started to sink? He said, "Oh, thou of little faith." Isn't it a strange thing that those of us who know God better seem to have less faith than those who don't know him as much? Shouldn't it be the other way around in a huge way? Those of us who've seen what He can do, those who've seen what He's done in our life, our faith ought to be the great faith. This woman was a stranger, a Canaanite, a Syrophoenician, a Gentile. The Jews didn't have that much faith. They often chased Jesus out of their coasts. But this woman said, I just need the crumbs. And Jesus said, your faith is great. May I remind you today that God notices and appreciates our faith. He says, without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Would this woman is a prime example of that verse, is she not? She came by faith, she diligently sought Him, and she was rewarded greatly for her coming to Jesus. Think of the reward, shall we say, of faith. By grace are you saved through faith. And that of yourselves is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Faith brings about salvation when it's placed in what God has done in Jesus Christ for us. Faith, we walk by faith. We're to live by faith. We're to pray in faith. And this woman's faith was great, and she saw a great result. And so can we. Her faith was rewarded as well as being recognized. Her daughter was made whole. And the Bible tells us, in Mark's Gospel, that the daughter wasn't with her, but she went home and she found out that that very hour that Jesus spoke those words, her daughter was healed. The very hour. How far did she have to travel? But they could trace it back to that very moment where Jesus said, woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee as thou wilt. Her problem was resolved. Jesus did not let her down in her faith in Him. He rewarded it. She believed, and her daughter was healed. That's what she came for. She came to see her daughter healed. To a loving mother, what would be better? Yes, being recognized for your faith would be a great thing, a humbling thing. Wow, he said, my faith is great. But oh, the result of that faith, my daughter, my child, is well. From the very moment that he spoke the word. When a problem is met with persistent faith, the prize is its solution. I may say it's not always the prize, the expectation, the result that we want. Paul prayed by faith, and his thorn in the flesh was not removed, but he found something greater than that. He found the all-sufficient grace of God. And so his faith, too, was rewarded. This morning we think about this mother and a mother's love. Mom, how is it with your children today? Do they need your prayer? Are you persistent to pray? Humbly asking God to do that which you believe and know Him to be able to do. Maybe you're not a mother here this morning. Maybe you have a loving mother. I'll tell you, it'd be a good day to thank her for being a mom that loves you and cares for you. If you have that opportunity to do so. But perhaps you are the reason for your mother's prayers this morning. Maybe you need to get some things right in your life. You say, I know my mom's been praying for me. It'd be great to answer the prayers, let God answer the prayers of your mother this morning and get things right with God. Christian, you say, I'm not a mother. And I think as far as I know, things are right between me and the Lord and me and my mom, and that part's good. But are we being a bridge or a blockade for people who are coming to Jesus, that need to come to Him? Maybe they don't even realize it. Maybe they're not even heading towards Him. But are we ready to be empathetic to their need and cry out to God on their behalf, even not as a mother, as a friend? And if you're here this morning, you're not sure of heaven, may I tell you this morning that Jesus Christ loves you. He says that him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. See, he didn't cast this woman out. He tested her faith, but he responded. He knows your heart this morning, and if you're not saved, he knows and he wants to save you today. His love is even greater than a mother's love. Let's pray together. This morning,